Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Countrywide is on its side.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Add possible securities fraud to the list of Countrywide's woes. Reports this weekend that the faltering mortgage lender is under investigation by the FBI. That hasn't daunted Bank of America, which is still planning to take Countrywide over. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
According to reports in the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, the FBI and Justice Department are looking into whether Countrywide misrepresented its financial position and the quality of the loans it made. One source told the Journal some Countrywide executives knew there would be more defaults than the company predicted publicly. Bank of America has agreed to pay $4 billion for Countrywide. Hill Townsend Capital President Gary Townsend says there's no going back for B of A.
They've so much skin in the game already. I don't know that they're getting a bargain here, but I think that they nonetheless, Bank of America feels that they've got to complete the deal.
Townsend says Bank of America has already invested $2 billion in Countrywide and has lent the mortgage giant billions of dollars more. Countrywide is reportedly among at least 14 companies being investigated by the FBI in connection with the subprime lending crisis. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
News from China this morning that its trade gap tumbled 63% last month. News from McDonald's this morning that same-store sales are up 12%. Lots of Big Macs being sold in Europe. Let's see how that's impacting Wall Street right now. The Dow is down 29 to 11,864. The NASDAQ is down 4 to 2210, and the S&P is down 5 to 1288. Today, the Nikkei fell to its lowest rate in more than 2 years. Oil retreated a bit today after crossing the $106 a barrel milestone on Friday, but gas prices are reaching another record. The Lundberg survey reports the price of a gallon up 9 cents over the last 2 weeks. A different sort of commodity is always at issue in Africa. From Cape Town, Terry Fitzpatrick looks at a new grain exchange.
Farming in Africa is tough enough without the risk that bureaucrats or middlemen will cheat you when you sell your crop. Economist Mohamed Karan says commodity exchanges are needed to ensure stable markets.
African agriculture in particular is exposed to volatility, which then affects brings us an uncertainty.
That uncertainty could end in Ethiopia when the nation's first exchange opens in March. Farmers will know the daily price for crops and can negotiate future contracts. It's part of a push throughout Africa to deregulate agriculture and let markets determine prices. Chris Sturgis at the Johannesburg Exchange thinks more trading centers are coming.
If government is going to be setting the prices of your commodities, you don't need an exchange. Because government will say, fine, your price today is $100 for your corn, and that's it.
Experts say free market exchanges can bring better incomes for farmers, bringing food security to Africa. In Cape Town, I'm Terry Fitzpatrick for Marketplace.
You are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report on this Monday, March 10th on marketplace.org. There's a limit to the number of high-skilled foreign workers permitted in this country. The idea is to reserve high-paying jobs for those born in the U.S. But two studies out today find a flaw in that thinking. From the America's Desk at WLRN in Miami, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The first study examined job openings for highly skilled workers at all the companies in the S&P 500. On average, tech companies had over 470 openings. Defense firms had more than 1,200.
The United States is simply not producing enough people in these skilled fields to fill the demand inside these companies.
That's Stuart Anderson. He directs the National Foundation for American Policy, author of both studies. The second report counters the idea that highly skilled immigrants displace native-born workers. For every foreign worker added, the study found U.S. tech firms increased their workforce by 5.
What companies find is when they hire highly skilled individuals, it can create new innovations and it can help the companies expand into new markets.
Anderson says that helps grow the overall labor force. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Economic progress has brought humanity a new range of temptations. After 1,500 years, the Vatican has just updated the seven deadly sins by adding seven new ones. From the European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
Pride, envy, gluttony, lust, wrath, greed and sloth are still mortal sins, says the Vatican. But in recent decades, some new sins have appeared on the horizon, and many of them have something to do with money. After a week-long seminar, the papal authorities have drawn up an additional modern list of seven deadly sins. Becoming obscenely wealthy is one of them. Causing people to suffer poverty is another. And now polluting the environment is also a grave offence against God. The Vatican argues that globalization, while inherently beneficial, has fueled an upsurge in selfishness and hedonism. Also on the new list, drug abuse, social injustice, and genetic manipulation. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Steve Miller has had a hand in some of America's biggest corporations at their worst time of need. Chrysler, Bethlehem Steel, Waste Management among them. Now he's written a book about his adventures in corporate America. It's called The Turnaround Kid. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan says the Steve Miller book is a great read, partly because the book isn't just about business.
Well, if it had not been for the first chapter, I probably would have thrown the entire book away because it describes Miller rushing to the hospital in suburban Detroit where his wife is lying terminal and how she dies before he gets there because his plane was late.
Ooh.
And you say, whoa, who would write this? So suddenly I'm sitting up and I'm paying attention. Because you don't see things like this, Lisa, ever.
He's far more confessional than a guy in a suit usually is, especially in his memoir where they're usually congratulating themselves for all their fantastic accomplishments.
Yeah, I mean, so you have this whole confessional tone that trickles in through it with amazing sort of interesting personal stories. At least I find them amazing. And the business stuff is usually, you know, six ways to turn around the company, 27 reasons I'm a genius. I mean, you know what these things are like.
Yeah.
And the business stuff, I mean, obviously some of it is self-serving, but a lot of it is really interesting because it's written very simply and he doesn't pretend that he succeeded at everything. You can make a case, at least I do, that if it weren't for Miller and this company, Delphi, this parts maker that's still trying to get out of bankruptcy, if he had not taken that thing into bankruptcy, I think in the end, all of the Detroit 3 auto companies would absolutely have had to go Chapter 11. Some of them may have to go Chapter 11 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But at least now they have a fighting chance.
One of the interesting things you write about is Miller's interaction with Lee Iacocca.
He was in the hierarchy of Chrysler under Iacocca and did very well. But he writes that in his opinion, Iacocca got to think of himself as a king. Everybody kissed various parts of Iacocca's anatomy, and that the company was starting to slip back into the bad habits that it had before Iacocca parachuted in and tried to save it. And somehow or other, he ends up writing a letter about Iacocca's failings and handing it to Iacocca. And in fact, I think you can argue that that's what launched Miller as a freelance corporate turnaround guy, because if anybody handed me a letter like that, I probably wouldn't want him around either.
That's Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan talking about the new book by Steve Miller. It's called The Turnaround Kid. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
Foreigners come to the Persian Gulf, to places like Dubai and Abu Dhabi, to work and to play. But the locals are being squeezed.
And sooner than later, we would realize that there's no place for us in our own country.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Middle East at Work, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
A confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.